So our shiur for today is a common question that comes up. Amir Tzashem, tomorrow I will take some of your suggestions, but this was one of the suggestions that somebody asked me about. Not going to mention his name because obviously, of course, he's not here. But the question that was asked was many different shalom bias issues. Shalom bias, I'm not talking about my shalom bias issues, which is my wife. And why she doesn't spend time with me the entire summer. But that's not, I don't even know why I'm discussing that. You're talking about your shalom bias nowadays is kibud av v'aim. And many things come up as you develop yourself. And usually for most guys, the shaila comes up when it comes to shana aleph, and shana bet, and shana gimel. And if you're in mevs, right, probably shana dalet, and hey, and vav, and zayin, chetet, yud. And that's the question of, I want to do something different than you want me to do. And in fact, just literally this summer, I've been working a Talmud with his parents. I don't know why the parents trust me, but we've been having a lot of conversations because they think I'm a business guy and I know the importance of college. Right? And trying to work out a shalom bias issue there. And this comes up. And then the guys go to Israel, obviously not Mevs, but other yeshivas, and they want to make aliyah. And I'm kidding. Sorry. And I don't have a lot more members jokes with that. I feel bad. By the way, I know Rabin totally inviting me to like be a guest shear now. I know Ryback for many years, but now that I see how he dresses, like I could definitely come. I'll wear the green shirt. I will. I'll wear the shirt. So in any case, I changed. So this comes up. I want to make Aliyah. What about, you know, I want to marry Sprinzel, and that's not the right one, right? How exactly and when exactly do we have to listen to our parents? So, unfortunately, this is our last shir klali, what I call last, you know, why you Torah shir. Tomorrow we'll be giving the off-the-record one. But we started off, if you remember, the way that you met me was with marijuana. If you remember, I brought in those pink cookies. And so we said that Rav Moshe Feinstein's last part of his tshuva was about kibud av v'aim. That clearly, this is when Rav Moshe wrote this in the 70s, parents don't want you to do marijuana. I don't know if that's changed a little bit. Nebuch, I have Talmidim who said, what are you talking about? My parents, we eat brownies together on Shabbos. You know, like, so, okay, there are different strokes for different folks. But this gets involved in a lot of these different shilas. And it's interesting because on Shavuos, I gave these two topics. In yeshiva, I gave this topic. And to the klal and the shul, so I gave a topic, and I said, "Wow, it's funny how there's one nakuda that's exactly the same, and that is, well, I'm not listening to my parents; I'm doing something that my parents don't want me to do." So the first source is the Gemara in Megillah, Amar Rava, Amar Yitzchak, Amar Shmuel, Bar Masra, Gadol Talmud Torah, Yosher Mikibud Avim, Shikol Oysim Shneim Sheyu Yaakov Avinu Beis. Of our lo nenash, right? Famously, we know Yaakov decided to take a little break and to learn Torah. Shana aleph bet shame veiver. Excuse me, thank you. Bebe shame veiver. The lo nenash, right? He went. It said base aver, not shame. I don't know what happened to shame there. He didn't give enough money to have the yeshiva name for him. So he went to base aver, and he wasn't nenash, which is interesting because there are midrashim that don't say that. That say Dafka was nenash because the godless, and this is an important part of our explanation today, right? The godless of the fact that he had a brother who was a Russia, but did keep it often better than him was something that caused a veira for him. So we know that on one hand, we see this mefurish, and this is the first shiloh, Talmud Torah is keneged kulam. It's the most important thing. So mistama, one could argue that there's nothing to discuss. And that's the Shulchan Aruch. Paskins mamish and hichok keep it av aim in your adeya. In Simon Chav Hey, the following. Aim ba'av, rotzel l'sharet et ha-ben, mutar l'kabel mimeno, fine. Talmud Torah sherotza, Talmud sherotza l'lechet l'makom acher. Shehu batuach, important line, batuach, sheyira simon bracha, b'talmudov l'fnei ha-rav shasham, v'aviv moichila, bo, l'fi shedoyeg sheba oiso ir, oivit kochavim ma'alim oiso, einu tzarech l'shmor la'avit bazeh. So this is a really extreme case, okay? Case is not Eretz Yisrael, obviously. Ovi Kachavim can't be, right? I hope, right? He wants to go to the new yeshiva, right? Rav Hartstein, who just came out with the article, Sefer, now he's getting all this hype. and the Instagram's going crazy, and he's dropping now a new, my dream Nahum Segal show is this, and then I got a podcast, and now I'm becoming very popular, and finally now I can open up my yeshiva in Yeshiva Gedolah of Turks and Caicos. Shkoyach. Turks and Caicos, there's other things going on there as well. But you say, Batuach, I know that I'm going to learn with Rav Hartstein, the great Gadol and humble, as the Sefer says, right? You know, the Rav Avari Levine, the Tzaddik of Yerushalayim. So I'm going to be like, you know, the Tzaddik of Ramat Beit Shemesh. I don't know. The Tzaddik of Bergenfield. I don't know, whatever. Anyway, so right? And I know it. And my father, this is a normal father. I'm not talking about the father's not religious. The father doesn't understand, appreciate Torah. No. The father says, are you nuts? What? This guy's crazy. Or worse. Let's give the real Rav Hartstein case, where I say to you, no, Rabbi Isai, I have a great idea. We're going to establish a yeshiva. I have the place already. In Ukraine. Okay. It's a little bit. Okay. There's air conditioning because all the windows are broken out. It's going to be good. It's dangerous there. Right? So says the Shulchan Aruch. You don't have to listen to your father. Says the Haggad. Says the Ramah. The Chaim. Im Ha'av Moicha Bebein. Lisa is a Isha Shechavetz Bay. Ain't Tzarech L'Shemar Aviv. Quote based on the Ma'arik. We quoted the Ma'arik earlier. The Ma'arik, which is one of the codifiers of Ashkenazic halacha, says no, even when it comes to Shmenso. You come home from great Camp Masora, and unfortunately, you obviously weren't attending my shirim constantly because you didn't listen to any of my musar, and you go to the canteen every single night, and you found, maybe not a Shmenso, but someone, Christina. You found a girl for yourself. And now you come home and you say to your parents, oh, the Kobe Cola was amazing. Right? Maybe I wasn't Koylem Olomo B'Kayetz Achat, but I was Koynan Isha B'Kayetz Achat. No? Yeah? Similar. We'll make sweatshirts with it. Okay. So, says the Ramah, yeah, that's true. You don't have to listen to your parents. Now, I should have started with a very important point here. And I have to say this, I'm not being biased here as a parent. Okay? Parents usually are much, much smarter than you. Usually, parents care an extreme amount for you. They love you. And they only want to do what's right for you. And they're not nut jobs and crazy and just don't want you. No, usually not. There are crazy situations. You heard from Moshe Weinberger earlier. Or Moshe Weinberger said, you know, he deals with this all the time, crazy parents. I'm not talking about crazy parents. Right? Generally, parents are looking out for the best. And I always try to guide Talmidim and say, you have to be respectful. This is part of your keep it avein. Show them, I appreciate what you're saying. I understand it. But here's why. And you have to make a good case, even if it's shana bet. But so far we've seen that clearly when it comes to Torah, that clearly when it comes to marrying, you don't have to listen to your parents. Comes along the Piskei Tshuva, of course, one of the great commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch. And he says, Kosev b'chamude Daniel, Nira de afilu safek lo shama yira simen bracha mutar. For example, the kasev oid acher hayarotu li palbe kenesham is palim sham yosef rekavana v'ima meicher bezeh ain't zorach lishmolba. Right, this is a very typical case. Also, you come back from Shana Aleph and your father's like, oh, I can't wait to show you off, my son who now davens with kavana. Oh, I can't wait to go to the main shul 9 o'clock minyan on Shabbos, which our family is machmed on to come at 9:45. Because I don't even know what that beginning part is. We'll get there for the beginning. You start with Rabbi Ishmael over here, we start with Shulchanad. You know, like that we come with Shulchanad. I actually had a Talmud, Letzarenu, who told me this terrible story. He was very, very nervous. He's coming back from his year in Israel. And he says that we have a minug in my family. This is really true. We have a minug in my family every Shabbos morning. Shabbos morning, My father says it's the one day I'm home from work. Everybody gets up. Everybody has to wake up. 8:30 in the morning, everybody gets up. They come downstairs, and there's all different types of Dunkin' Donuts and Entenmann's and different coffees with creamers and the whole ganze geschäft. And all the newspapers, of course. You have to read the newspapers. This one reads the New York Post and the Daily News, and this one, right, the New York Times, all the different things. And they talk, and it's a great time. And then finally, you know, Rabbi Chanan and Akasha Oymer, at 10 o'clock, they go to shul, and the father always comments when he walks in, oh, we got here exactly on time, first aliyah. And the son says, I can't do this anymore. But on the other hand, right, So from the Piskei Tshuva, for sure. Right? By the way, I would say, just want to point out, Piskei Tshuva is also saying, Suffolk, I don't know if it's going to be a great makom of Torah. Still, that's good. I've heard good things about it. Rav Hartzi's never been a Rosh Yeshiva before. But I heard good things. That still would be mutter. So how do you work with such a situation? Yeah, lahalacha, correct. You could say to your father, I'm really sorry, but not in the wrong way, right? You don't say, I just want to show you a sim in the Shulchan Aruch, dummy. Look what it says. You can't eat before davening. No, you don't say that. So I said to this boy, I have a good idea. If you really are committed to tefillah, here's my idea for you. Go to the Hashkama Minyan. Every shul has that Hashkama Minyan. Anybody know how the Hashkama Minyan started?
Yeah.
Why Hashkama Minyan?
Yes. Yeah,
what?
Well,
yes. Yeah. Excellent. See? You're back.
I'm back then.
Better than ever. Yes.
I'm
Menachem says, yeah, that's what used to happen. In America, Nebuchadnezzar Leinu. What? Yeah, people used to have to work. My grandfather, Alav Shalom, who we dedicated one of the shurim for, so my grandfather would tell that every single Friday he would come home, no job. He was committed to being Shomer Shabbos. Used to be in America, you worked 6 days a week. Sunday you were off. There's no such thing as Saturday off. And every week, can you imagine that Shabbos table? Every week not knowing what's going to happen on Monday morning? So people wanted to go to shul and they went, Nebuch. That's how it started. So I said to this boy, you really committed? Wake up at 7:30 for the 7:30 minyan. Tell your father, Dad, I'm just going. Dad, this way I can spend more time. It doesn't matter. Also, by the way, it's mutter l'shanos as a emes certain times. Hey, I want to, you know, have a good appetite. So, okay, hopefully your father will be normal and blood. You got to develop. You have to work on something and say, okay, what if I do it this way? What if I don't go to? You wanted me to go to Maryland. I'm not going to go to Maryland, but I'm going to go to this university and be able to have a chavur. Whatever. Yeah, you have to have a plan. So that's the halacha. It's interesting, just to take a moment's pause. Rav Avadya Yosef's son, the great chief rabbi of Israel, Rav Yitzchak Yosef, in Yalkut Yosef, obviously gets a lot of his father's Torah there, has a whole piece, has a whole chelek on Kibud Avayim. And there, he develops the idea of causing tsar to a parent. What exactly is the isser of Kibud Avayim? It's very interesting. Most of the time, right, the typical Kibud Avayim situations, honestly, I don't think we violate at all. I actually don't, right? Most of the time, your father's not saying to you, Hashkeni Mayim, and you say, get water yourself, what's wrong with you? You know, maybe some of the campers here, maybe, okay, fine. No. So what's usually the situation? It may not be. So he times that it may not be. He has all these shales to chuvas. He goes back and forth. And he wonders whether or not, based on his father as well, he wonders whether there's an isser of violating Kibud Avayim if you mitzar it's a father. I'll give you an example, right? Your parents call you now, and they say, oh, Shalom Aleichem, you're here for the last shot. Oh, it's going to be amazing. We're going to have a big kiddush sponsored by Uzi. You're still, like, yeah, maybe. And me, yeah. No. And what happened? Oh, we're going to have this, right? But I heard that tonight it's going to be so cold in Guilford, New York. It may be true, by the way, right? It's getting a little chilly now. It's the end of the summer. It gets chilly. I heard it's going to get chilly. Promise me that on Shabbos, you're going to wear your winter coat. And, okay, so you're not, what are you going to say? Listen, whack job. You know, it's not going to snow in Guilford. What do you say? You say, actually, yep. So you say, well, it's not that. No, I'm telling you, I'll come pick you up right now. So you're allowed to be mishananus. So you say, okay, no problem. Because the tsar says, again, this is quoted in many different things. I'm just quoting Rav Yitzchak Yosef. He says, there's no, you're not causing tsar. What? Somebody's going to see you say, oh my God, I saw him without a coat on Shabbos. Oh, you say. Now, what about this? I had a Talmud a few years ago. We had, what?
Joining the army.
No, that's different. That's different.
That's going to tell us in tremendous tsar.
Yeah. So again, it's a very good question. There, the tsar, we can, when I go to Aliyah, maybe we could ask this point. So I had a Talmud a few years ago. If you remember, there was stabbings going on all over Israel, Nebuch. So one Shabbos, the yeshiva decided you're not allowed to leave Beit Shemesh. At that point, you know, Arabs don't really know where Beit Shemesh is except where to work. They're not stabbing anybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, they're going to Beit Shemesh. They're going to Yerushalayim or whatever. Fine. So you have to stay in Beit Shemesh. So this parent said, absolutely not, you need to stay in the yeshiva. You can't go to your uncle's house, who literally lives in Beit Shemesh, because I heard it's dangerous in that part of Beit Shemesh. So he said to me, what should I do? So I thought it was mutter to be Mishan Lemes. Again, the uncle was committed to not telling him that, even if he would find out, you're causing him tzar, may not be. So in all these cases, we could just discount it by saying, this isn't really even keep it aveim. You're going to cause tzar to them, yishkoyach. Now, have I not, is it true that in many cases the parents are right, and the parents were looking out for your best thing? And you're like, I told you Hartstein wouldn't be able to open a yeshiva in Ukraine, and now you're stuck there and you can't get out. Good. Good. Yeshiva Gedolah of Cuba, Yeshiva Gedolah of North Korea. Like, not good ideas, Hartstein. Fine. What is this all based on? So we know that the basic concept, which we didn't even discuss, of course, is the famous idea, Ishimova Vivsirel Vias Shatu Zayin Tishmaru. The Torah tells us that Ishimova Vivsiro, we have to honor our parents, Vias Shatu Zayin Tishmaru. Meaning what? Right? We have to keep Shabbos. Right? Obviously, this week's parsha will be Zoycha to read the Aseret HaDibros. Keep it Aveim is all important until I ask you to violate something. So where may that come to play? That certainly may come to play when it involves Eretz Yisrael. What if there's a mitzvah? Again, I'm not jumping the gun here and saying there's a mitzvah to serve in the army, but what if there's a mitzvah? Now, the way I wanted to develop the shiur, but I met you guys and said this is not good. I wanted to develop the shiur differently and give this shiur tomorrow, and today give the shiur on, well, what is the mitzvah of Aliyah? But you probably all heard this shiur a gazillion times, and you're probably all aware of the famous tshuva of Moshe Feinstein, which every American is hanging on for dear life. That the reason why I didn't move to Eretz Yisrael, despite my amazing impromptu talk about the Kuzari's beautiful Sion Halot Tisholi, the wanting, the waning for you for living in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, if you still didn't listen to me, you said, "Ah, it's Yaini from Levi Torah. What does he know?" Right? Still, you didn't listen to me. So, even Rav Asher Weiss says, I love Rav Asher Weiss's piece on this. Rav Asher Weiss says, I never understood the Rabbanim that get up and has Dorish Hashir on the topic of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. He says, why? Because what are you being Dorish? To Mr. Dorais and Mr. Rabbanim? The Rambam doesn't count it. So what? He says it's not a mitzvah? No! If you hold the Rambam doesn't count it, which Rav Asher Weiss says is a fallacy, he clearly is part of a mitzvah min HaTorah he holds. But even if you hold, it's not. It is a derabbanan. So what are we arguing? Ah, so you want to say, famously, Rav Moshe Feinstein's famous line of what? Mitzvah kiyumis, mitzvah chayuvis. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a gorgeous tshuva where he comes up with this chiddush that's shared by the world, and everybody wants to jump on this and say, oh, what does it mean? It means like this. We have certain things. You have no choice. You can't wake up in the morning and say, hey, put on the Kobe 2023 group with all your pictures and all your chazarai that you put on there, right? You put on a picture of tefillin and you say, who can do this for me today? Right? You have a chiyuv to wear tefillin. You can't ask somebody to put tefillin on for you. Mitzvah kiyumis, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, if there are certain mitzvahs, yeah, if you're a shochet, shkoyach, you can do the mitzvah of shechita. Nobody says, no, guys, I just saw a cow. Let's go, everybody leave, you know? The sheep we had last year. Right? Right, let's go. We have to do shechita. And we're going to fight with each other. Who's going to get to do the shechita? No, that's a mitzvah kiyumis. So he's a great example, which I always questioned, was tzitzis. I heard you guys were giving out tzitzis. Is that true? Yeah. You're giving out tzitzis, giving out these stucco things. That has to say a project in Vassara. I understand what you're doing here. Okay, good. When I taught for a number of years, I taught in NCS Y-Kolo. So at that time, I had all my shurim in cute Lev HaTorah, what do you call it, folders. And I would take out the shir and I would go to one of the people, I won't mention his name, but he might work in your institution, came up to one of the heads of Kolel and said, I don't know who this Hartstein guy is, but you cannot recruit like he's recruiting. And he said, what are you talking about? Look at the folder he's bringing in. It was like I brought like a big poster and said, Lev HaTorah, yeah. Anyway, it wasn't done on purpose. Honestly, I could care less if anybody goes to Levi Torah. But anyway, so why tzitzis? Tzitzis is very interesting. Why? We all know that we don't have to wear tzitzis. There's no chiyuv to wear tzitzis, right? And this halacha is clearly followed by many, many of our campers, right? There's no chiyuv to wear tzitzis. But what do we all know? Why do we wear tzitzis? Because we had accepted upon ourselves. We've accepted upon ourselves many different things. What does that mean, we? We, not we. We've davened ma'ariv also. We accept Klal Yisrael. And that's why once we accept something, there could be heterim. Baruch Hashem, what are the heterim? So we have heterim sometimes. Saying, oh, yeah, this is a fast day, but because it's a Rabbanan fast day, so women in this category don't have to fast. And a charlov, this and this, yeah, because the Rabbanan, their ancient wisdom, said, here are the things. I was having a discussion, maybe not a discussion, I was having an argument with my daughter, and we were talking about this. She says, oh, here comes the heter, here it comes, right? We're talking about the 9 days. So she said, she's right about this. I discussed this already on Shabbos. The heter of the Siyams. She says, come on, Abba. First of all, as I told you, my son who just came said, I hope you'll meet him over Shabbos. So my son said to me, you know, this is an American Zach. There's no Siyams in Israel. Like, that's not, right? Just happens to be someone's Messiah Shas that maybe don't buy 10 people. You know what I'm saying? But, so, we can develop that. But we have accepted upon ourselves to all wear tzitzis. There's no heter for that. We've accepted upon ourselves. So the question is, if we accept it, why is Aliyah not the same thing? Okay, not for now. But it's a strange comment to even discuss that maybe there's no mitzvah to make Aliyah. I don't get the comment even. Rav Chaim Cohen, the famous Tosfos, says, you know, Sakanas Derachim, do me a favor. There's no Sakanas Derachim in America. Stop. Very difficult, very schwer. So famously, the Gemara says, here in the next source, the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Lamed Aleph, the famous story about Rav Asi. Rav Asi's mother is getting old. And unfortunately, she's losing it a bit. And what does she say to him? Be'ene gavra deshapir, find me somebody as beautiful as you are. I want a husband. My husband died. I want a husband as beautiful as you. V'azul la'arad Eretz Yisrael. He left. He realized that she's becoming crazy and this might involve something that will be very uncomfortable for him, and he leaves. He leaves, and then he asks Rabbi Yochanan, can he leave Chutzlar? He hears that his mother is sick, and then we find out that his Rabbi Yochanan first seemingly says no, then he says okay, gives him a heter, and then okay, fine.
Didn't she follow him?
No, she started following, but she didn't go to Eretz Yisrael. Correct. And then he ends the Gemara, and he says that she passed away, and as he's leaving Eretz Yisrael, he sees the kfura happening. And he says, had I known, I would have never left Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so this is a famous Gemara. This is a Gemara for another source as well. That's much different about people who live in Eretz Yisrael. Can they leave Eretz Yisrael? Right? Especially for 2 months, right? So there's a heter, we know the famous heter, but there are rabbanim today that come out. This is like mamish halacha lemaisa for today, right? The number one flights in Eretz Yisrael left Thursday night, right? Everybody's leaving for Ben Azman, right? So, where are they going to? They have to go to, you know, Switzerland, and they have to, you know, the people have to go to the Alps, and they have to go to, obviously, look at my yeshiva in Turks and Caicos. They're going everywhere. Can you leave for vacation? Right? Different Rabbanim say different things. It's interesting, I'm not sure why some of the Gedole Tzioni Rabbanim, probably Rav Dov Lior and others say, how can you leave Eretz Yisrael for vacation? You want a vacation? You can go to part of Eretz Yisrael that's not Eretz Yisrael. Go to Eilat. You know, it's not really part of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, fine. You know, like, what are you leaving Eretz Yisrael for? This is a feeling that I Baruch Hashem, thank God, I married someone who feels the same way. If I'm going on a vacation, I say to my wife, okay, let's go to Tel Aviv for the night. That's a mamish, like, if you live in Ramat Beit Shemesh, you go to Tel Aviv for the night, you're mamish in another country. You know, like, it's crazy. Okay, I don't know. Fine. Same thing, I have Pesach. Hopefully I'll keep this. My parents, Baruch Hashem, I have this chus, and my parents come every year. My sister comes every other year, and they say, why don't you have, let's change it up, you know? They're having Dubai, let's go to Dubai. I go, no. Eretz Yisrael. Shlosh Regalim, you stay in Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi comments on a very interesting pasuk. Again, from the Gemara, clearly we see that there's clearly a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, that's why he couldn't leave, you know? So he says something very, very interesting. We learn in Parshas, right before, in Parshas Noach, right before Lech Lecha, we learn that Vayomas Terach Bechoran. So Rashi says, let's be intellectually honest, Terach didn't die. Terach, who we know, owned the largest Idols Are Us franchise in the world. Adai Nisharu, he was there. So why does it say that he died? Shlo yi hadabim mefursam. So it should become something before Shlomo Yovel Kaim Avram Avinu Kibud Avim. So now Avram Avinu is blessed with Kalarzacha, and his father's still alive. People would be like, how'd you move to Eretz Yisrael? A Zayich Chutzpah. Others, Safnas Paneach, and others comment and says, yeah, if your parents don't want you to move to Eretz Yisrael, you can't move to Eretz Yisrael. V'haraya, look at the whole situation with the Torah, quote unquote, lying and saying that Terach died when he never even died, because obviously Avram was different. Why was Avram different? I have a klal for you. If you start a new religion, not Jesus, if you start a new religion, right, called monotheism, so then you're allowed to leave your father's house. Okay? But stam, a person's moving and the father's against, clearly Terach was against it. Of course you can't move. That's one possibility. I'll stop for a moment and tell you this awesome possibility. I have a friend who probably is on my list of people who encouraged me to make a... Oh, sure, questions, sure. Now I might have to get a water now that you're asking questions. Go ahead.
But let's say...
Just gave me my...
Parents live on the East Coast, and then you and your married, you moved to the West Coast.
You and who?
When a person gets married.
Who'd you marry? Sprinzel? Yeah.
You moved to the West Coast.
Thank you.
Your parents aren't driving, however long the drive is from New York to LA to see you. They still have to hop on the flight. So what's the difference between hopping on the, I'm saying, like, what would be the difference between hopping on a flight to LA versus hopping on a flight to Israel? I know there's a different time difference in the flight.
Wait. I may say to you, this is not, the question is what I'm talking about now unique to Eretz Yisrael? Or is it? You can get married to Sprinzel. She's great. But we know now that she's from L.A. God, if you move there, you know, you could be right. Or is there something unique about Eretz Yisrael? So my friend is moving to Eretz Yisrael. He is a very successful business person. And I couldn't believe he was moving. It was amazing. He tells me the hardest part of moving was when he had to make the hard tell his in-laws. His mom dealt with it pretty well. His in-laws did not. I have, by the way, a similar situation. My in-laws were very, very, very against us moving to Eretz Yisrael. Hashem laughed at me. And unfortunately, this is our 15th year. Aliyah anniversary is on Sunday, I think. And it's going to be 16 years. But unfortunately, 2 years ago, the very sad news, my in-laws moved to Eretz Yisrael. So, and worse, very sad, they moved to Ramat Beit Shemesh. Like, Mama, she can't be like, Hashem can't laugh more at me. But these were people who didn't talk to us. They didn't talk to us for like a year, which is great for me, but not for my wife. And the first thing my mother-in-law said when we told them we were making Aliyah was, they said, if you make Aliyah, I swear to God, we're never going to talk to you again. I'm like, let's go now. You know, like, that's what he said. Like, it wasn't nice. It wasn't nice. I remind my mother-in-law of that all the time. And then you followed us, Nebuchadnezzar. So this person tells the in-laws, and the father-in-law says, they did it over the phone, I did it over the phone because I'm afraid if I went to my in-law's house and told them, my father-in-law would punch me in the face. That's what he said to me. The father-in-law says, I knew this would happen. He says, I'm sending you a fax. I don't know if you remember what faxes were. So, you know, a fax comes in, and it's an article from Rabbi Mordechai Willig. Happens to be this guy's Rebbe, from his Rebbe. And it's an article on this pasuk. And Rabbi Willig has an article, you can look on Torah Web, and the article says, yeah, of course, this is a proof based on Rashi, based on the Safa Paneach, based on others, that you can't move to Eretz Yisrael if your parents are against it. Okay? Very interesting. Very interesting. That being said, let's see what the Poskim say about this. Now, by the way, sorry. So he didn't know what to do, so he called his Rebbe, Rebbe Willie, and he told him the whole story. He says, Rebbe Willie, at the end of the day, look what you're doing to me. And he goes, wait, who sent you this? He says, my father-in-law. He goes, perfect. He goes, what do you mean? He goes, a wife has no obligation to listen to her parents once she gets married. She has to listen to the husband over the parents. It's not just a Sephardi thing, by the way. It's not a Sephardi thing. Yes, you have to listen. No. No. This is a halacha. You have to listen to the husband. Baruch Hashem, hopefully we're not crazy husbands. And tell them to do something over there. Sometimes I go crazy, right? My wife never listens to me anyway. That's why we're still in camp. So clearly, I have no say in anything. But so then he called his father-in-law back, and he says, "I'm sending you a fax." And he said, "I spoke to Rabbi Willig, and he says it doesn't apply." Whatever. It turned out, as things would work out, unfortunately, I mean, fortunately for him, he was able to buy a company a few months before they made Aliyah, which did not allow him to make Aliyah. For us, Baruch Hashem, for us, because all the stuff that they had wanted to take to Israel, we got like on pennies on the dollar for ourselves. So they have, we have a lot of closets. We used to have closets in the house for them. Shkoyach to them. Anyway, so let's look at Rav Avad Yosef. Rav Avad Yosef here. The next source. Rav Avad was asked the tshuva, Hador be'eretz Yisrael. V'horav garim b'chutz la'aretz. V'horim b'vakshim mimenu. La'redet min ha'aretz. L'starefiyam. It's a little bit different. He's already living there. So he quotes the famous Sifri, Derei Chasal B'Sifri Parshas Re'ei. Ma'is Rabbi Yehuda Re'ei, we know Rabbi Yehuda Shiyotzi Michutz Aretz, V'shiyagir L'Pleita Koloma B'Sof HaGvul Tzol Eretz Yisrael, Zokfu Eineyem. They started tearing up. Karu Bigdeyem. And they said, how can we leave Eretz Yisrael? Rabbi Yisai, sorry, I have to pause for a moment of Musar. This is it, Shabbos Nachamu. This is the time, we're in this weird time now as we approach Chatzos, right? Where we're still commemorating, Mamash the Beis HaMikdash was burning during this time. And if we don't commit ourselves to the love of Eretz Yisrael, Sion Halot Tishali, if our signpost is not Eretz Yisrael, we have a problem. We have to look at our yichus, right? We have to look at ourselves. If Eretz Yisrael is not on my mind, look at this stirring Sifri. Mamash. So then he quotes the Maharam Rutenberg that says, She'ein l'bein l'shmo l'aviv kishem motzua shelo la'olot l'Eretz Yisrael. Kevan she mitzvahi la'olot l'Eretz Yisrael. As the Gemara says in Yuvamah Sishim Oviv Terev Shalmeh Kulam Chayavim B'Kavoydi, that the Gemara in Yuvamah says, if the son is a Kohen, and the father says, you need to pick up a package. In order to pick up the package, he has to go through a cemetery. He has to say politely to his father, I can't, I'm a Kohen. V'chein b'chol dover sheyesh bo mitzvah. Anything that's a mitzvah, lo yishma l'aviv. She'kavad amokim kodem. V'chein kosu b'divri arama, parvus b'hilchus mamrim, she'afilu omr lo l'aviv, levatel mitzvahs aseh, shel divrayim lo yishma lo. This is a famous question. What about a minhag? Right, I'd like to give this example. I apologize. You guys won't understand the example as much, but take me into Leva Torah for a moment. I don't think, do you have this in Mevaseret? I think I may have told the story already when we were talking about Kibbutz Avim, right? You have like a Hasidic Rebbe that like tries to, oh good, okay. So we have in Leva Torah, fortunately, many of them, who convince, some of them, actually Rav Gerzi, for example, who's some of his Talmidim are floating around here. But Chassidish Mamash. So now I go to one of the famous Rabbeim and I drink the Kool-Aid, as they say. I'm all over this. And I feel that I really have to do my avodas Hashem through wearing a gartel. Right? That's the most important thing I got in my year in Israel. A gartel. And not just any gartel. Not like the Chassidim, but I want to be like a Breslov, a white gartel. Right? And maybe I'll even be real, like super frum and wear it the Chabad way. You know, like here, so like everybody sees it. You know, like, oh, fine. So now it's the first day I land. They say to my father, okay, you know, maybe I'm really firm. And like, obviously I have to go to the mikvah first. And the father deals with that. And then the father takes us to shul. And he's shocked. As I'm about to put on my tefillin, I say my hinani mukhan on my gartel, and mukhazim lekai mitzvahs klipas, and the, you know, all these different things. The shame chod brichi brichi the shame kol Yisrael. You know, no Yehud is going crazy, you know, fine. And I put on the guy, my father's like, whoa, what are you doing? I took you to the mikvah, fine. What are you doing? He's like, what do you mean? I'm putting on a gartel. He says, do you have any idea where you come from? Your great, great, great grandfather learned in Velazhen. We're descendants of the Gra. Do you remember the name of our shul? Beit Knesset HaGra. You can't put on a gartel here. And he says, so it could be that this is correct what the father said. It could be that even though Rav Avad here quotes the Maharam Rutenberg and others that say midivrei, maybe minhagim it may not be the same way. It may be that a father who's a normal father says, okay, this is something, I'm sorry, this is too much for me. Right? There could be something that, right? This is a question that comes up. Baruch Hashem, I don't have this question, but my son asked this question. I think one year, it was COVID. I think it was the COVID year. My son was back from yeshiva. We know the yeshivas have the tradition. I don't know what Nevs does, but the davening Rosh Hashanah is super long. I don't know. The guys don't know how to daven. I don't know. The words are too, you know, you move to Eretz Yisrael for the year and all of a sudden your words become slower. Okay? So what happened? So my son says, I understand, I'm not going to make lunch. It's Sudas Yontif, and I'm not going to be here on time. Does it bother you if I come to lunch an hour late? And what do I say to him? It's the biggest covenant in the world. What do I care? No. Right? Some parents, so maybe that's our, that may be something practical. Let's continue in the tshuva of Rav Avad Yosef. So he says, he quotes all the tshuvas, the ma'abit, which I'll get to. Shel shuvas milas staka, the ma'abit in his tshuva. B'misha nader lalos l'Eretz Yisrael. So I actually have the tshuva here. The ma'abit, one of the great, Rav Tirani, one of the great Svarish Poskim. So the guy, last week? There was a billion dollar Powerball, right? I always laugh at this. They show the lines of the Powerball thing. People going out the door, right? And I always wonder, and they interview the person. The person's like, you know, when it was $500 million, I'm like, what's the point? But $1 billion, that I could use. You know, like, why only $1 billion people go on the line? That's you have the absolute, positively no chance to win. You know, like that. Those people, fine, $1 billion. So the guy says, right, a very typical thing that people say in America, I'll move to Eretz Yisrael if I win the lottery, right? So the guy wins the lottery now, and he was neither to move to Eretz Yisrael. Uh-oh. His parents, his wife, everybody's against it. She doesn't know what to do, says the Rav Avadia, quoting the Ma'abid. Chayav, l'chaimus neder, aviv, l'chaimus mitzvah aviv, l'chayav, l'chaimus nedro. No. He says, you have to keep the neder against the mitzvah of kibud avim. He goes, you don't have to be choshesh. I'll just read you the gorgeous lashon on the Ma'abit. The Ma'abit says like this. He says that mitzvah Yishuv Yerushal who chamura me'od shamru Rabbi Seino shechazal shes doicha es kibud avayim. Shkul kinegah kol mitzvah shebatoyra. And he says, and here's the chiddush. I mean, not a chiddush. Right, maybe a little bit what you're saying. I don't want to not do kibud avayim. I want to do kibud avayim, mom and dad. Come join us. By the way, you also have the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not moving to Iraq. Doesn't make sense. Yeah.
Why do you need the nether?
Why do you need the nether? Say better. Go ahead, say it.
You need the nether to not listen to your parents.
Yeah. This is a mitzvah. Yeah. I would ask even a stronger Shiloh. How can you make a neder on a mitzvah? Okay. You know how you're not allowed to make a neder on a mitzvah. Maybe that goes through a Moshe's kiyuvas kiyumas. Would be a cute, maybe a way to plug that in. But 100%, you don't need a neder. No, 100%. Right. Very good. Very good. You're saying good. I don't think the Ma'abit is addressing, well, I made a neder and now I'm going to have taras nedarim. You're right. There was a time where nedarim like meant a big deal. Nowadays, I'm not really sure. We do have taras nedarim. It's very nice that we do it. I don't think people make nedarim. I don't know. I had a Rebbe back when I was in yeshiva. Long story. I got kicked out of Marshan Alisher. Can you imagine? I got kicked out, not for a good reason. The Rebbe thought I was talking, but I wasn't. Until today, I admit, I know I wasn't talking. I wasn't. Anyway, I went to the Rosh Hashiva and I told him, and he said, Baruch Hashem, what did he say to me? That guy's crazy. And he stuck me in Shana Betshir, my Shana Aleph, and had this amazing Rebbe, Rav Ehud Zahn. It was amazing. Because when I went from, I'll just give you a funny story, when I went from my YU Bechina, I didn't do well in my first Bechina because I went to Hafter, and when they asked me to read Gemara, I was like, what's that? And then the Bochim was like, you know, it's upside down. You know, fine. So I was now in the Shana, so now I sat in the Shana, the Bochim now came, and he says, okay. He says, who shir are you in? And I said the name. I don't know whose shir is that. I'm like, oh, I'm a Shana Alf guy in the Shana Bet Shir. Whoa. Right? So then he says, we happen to be learning brachos. So he says, what daf are you doing? I told him the daf, and I knew exactly where I knew this. He's like, well, what do you do with this tosfos? And I'm like, what do you do with that tosfos? I'll tell you what Rabbi Willig does with that tosfos in his Sefer Am Mordechai, where he quotes his Rebbe, Rabbi Rav Shechter, who quotes the Rav. And then the boychim's like, well, what year do you want to be in? Like, that's all I need. I didn't know what I was talking about, but I knew to say that. And I got it. It was going to any single year I wanted. In any case, he made a neder once. This Rebbe, he was a he was a terrible, terrible smoker. So he would come to shiva every day. And he was like 25 years old. You know, he'd been to the army. He had this voice at 25 years old. It was so sad. So he made a neder. He's not going to smoke, which lasted for Shabbos. You know, like the guy that says, you know, that during the 9 days, a lot of people want to take upon themselves not speaking Lashon Hara, Chafetz Chaim, you know. So he said, I'm not speaking Lashon Hara from 4 to 5 in the morning. That's for sure, right? Okay, fine. So a guy, he made a neder. And now it was Sunday, and then finally Monday, he came to the Beis Medrash, and he said, this is one of my greatest things I stand by. This definitely is going to be on the art school book. And what happened? He said, he goes, he stopped, he's telling me the story. He says, come with me. We need to do Hataras Nedarim. I want you to see, real Hataras Nedarim, like what the real thing is. Like, not. I'm like, okay. So he gets Rav Nevensal, and Rav Nevensal smiles, and he says, I should sit on the basin. He says, okay. So he got him, and there was a Rebbe in the yeshiva, Rabbi Freiman, I think his name was. Wonderful, elderly, great Rav. And then he says to Eyod Zan, who should be the third? And he says, here, this Bocher's here. Let him sit here. So I sat with Rav Nevensal, this Rav, right, this Polish Rav from, right, and Rav Hartzi, he wasn't Rav Hartzi yet. I was a guy who didn't even know what the ups and downs of the Gemara, who went upstairs to find the rush in the back, he didn't know it was the back of the Gemara. Fine. So I was like, So I remember calling my father, in those days you called once a week. I called my dad. Dad, I sat on a beast in Rav Nevensal and Rav Freiman. He's like, what? What are you talking about? Well, come back. Fine. I said, no, Dad, I don't have to listen to you. Keep it avim. Fine. So the Nedarim are a real thing. Meaning he made a nether. I just want to tell you, by the way, just to tell you the whole ceremony. So he took out Shimuna Raboisai Hamonim, and Rav Nevensal was like, no. Just tell us what the nether was. And he says, okay. And then we just said, Hakol Motulach, Hakol Motulach. That was it. It was great. So fine. So that's the Mabit. The Mabit ends off, and the Mabit says, not just that, he quotes the Truma Sedeshan. He says, the Truma Sedeshan says the same thing, that you don't have to listen to your parents in these cases. Fine. Rav Avadya ends his Truva, and Rav Avadya says, V'harei, his parents could come and live with him, as I said before. The Gemara Ketuvos talks about how important it is to live in Eretz Yisrael. A kol moilim lo, certainly doesn't apply to the woman. The woman has to, woman and a man, if they want to move to Eretz Yisrael, she could lose the ketuvah for that. And then he says, if you look at the next page, she yeshiva v'dira b'Eretz Yisrael, hi chamura ma'ot, sheshkula kedei kol ha'mitzvos b'Torah. And therefore, b'sikum, asur laredet mi'Eretz Yisrael l'chutz la'aretz, afilu kedei l'itztaref l'horov hadorim b'chutz la'aretz. Ulam, you're allowed to leave to do kibbut avayim, but they can't force you to leave, certainly in an extended period of time.
Why are you allowed to leave for kibbut avayim?
Excuse me?
Why are you allowed to leave for kibbut avayim?
Because there are different reasons why we're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael.
Are there three?
I think so. Job, wife, not kibbut avayim.
Oh, right, job.
So I just will point out, this just reminded me that I definitely did this last year because I got in a lot of trouble.
No,
Tom Torah. I think Kibbut Avim. He says you could leave it for a temporary.
Rambam says if there's the Tekanah in Eretz Yisrael.
Right. Yeah, I think you could leave Eretz Yisrael for. Again, that's the problem with the Gemara. The Gemara clearly says you can't leave Eretz Yisrael, meaning you had to give him a heter and he says, okay, to leave. Clearly people aren't makbid anymore on this. I leave every 6 weeks, but it's for my job. And I'm doing Kibbut Avayim. And usually I teach in YU this year, like a Talmud Torah. I don't marry somebody. Okay, so I wanted to just point out a tshuva that got me in trouble last year, and they asked me to take the shir off YU Torah. I didn't, obviously. And that's the Sheol Tshuvas here of the Mahabit. I'm sorry, the Sheol Tshuvas of the Yayin HaTov, Rav Yitzchak Nissen, the chief rabbi of Israel. So the chief rabbi of Israel had, the Sephardi chief rabbi, had a very interesting tshuva. I went a little bit too far. I'm not apologizing for that. I went a little bit too far, and I used the name of a camp who brainwashes their kids to move to Eretz Yisrael. So I'm not going to do that now. So we won't use any names. So he asked the following question. Let's look. It's not on your sheet. I'll just read it to you. Lahadrich banim im nachol lahadrich banim laalot leEretz Yisrael beneged ratzon harim. He said they're going to a summer camp, and in that summer camp, all they do is rah-rah Eretz Yisrael all the time. Rah-rah Eretz Yisrael. Yay, Eretz Yisrael. Now, you could kind of, the parents know about what's going on. They know about this brainwashing, but they don't know how extreme it is. And then they sit in little groups at 3 o'clock in the morning, and they say, you have to move to Eretz Yisrael. You have to move to Eretz Yisrael. I'm like, yes, and they're drinking Kool-Aid, as we said before. Right, oh, I'm going to move to Eretz Yisrael. So he says it's not mutter. So Rav Yitzchak Nissim says, yeah. Remember that ma'abit we said before? For sure it's mutter, because it's a mitzvah. And guess what? The parents have that mitzvah anyway. He quotes the Sheol Tshuvos Beis Yehuda. Be'eretz HaKodesh ve'avav imo kosha aleihem prei daschem. What do we do? He quotes other Sfarish HaPoishkim, the Maris Ayish, la'alos la'aretz, mutter lo, the neged aviv, v'nimsa. He says, a person should, no problem. It's the Messiah of Yisrael. It's like almost saying, you can't go to a camp and teach kids about mitzvahs. Right, you have the schus. My daughter is spending the entire year in a non-religious school, religious school for non-religious kids. So she's not, she teaches them things that, like, it was shocking. I don't think it's as shocking here, because most of them know that that's what's even worse. They know things. Right? There, she said to them, okay, I'm going to ask you an easy question. Come, Sukkos is coming. Name the Dalet Minim. And they're like, what's the word Dalet mean? And what's the word Minim mean? Like, they didn't know anything. And the Sukkos, they're like, oh, that tree thing we do. What? They didn't know anything. So you can tell me that's not Mutter, because their parents know where they're selling them. But came along the Tzitz Eliezer, and the next source, we're on the other side of the page, and says something startling. Mamish startling. The Tzitz Eliezer says, I have tremendous respect for Rav Yitzchak Nissim, but I saw the tshuva that he wrote. He's writing the tshuva back to Rav Yitzchak Nissim. Now, if you know anything about the Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Eliezer Wallenberg, I would put him in the category, if I want to, you know, have my Gedolim category, I would put him in the category as a Zionist. You could argue with me, but I think that's one of the reasons when he passed away, not that many years ago, right? Less than 20 years ago. So his funeral, his Levaya didn't have as many people as should have showed him covered, because he was like kind of on the fence. He had very interesting Jews. He's a medical genius. He was the head of Shaarei Tzedek Hospital. And if I was to make an assumption here, I'm going to be like, oh, here we go. This is going to be like number one, 101. By the way, I have no idea why. Maybe somebody can explain this to me. You guys certainly can explain it to me, you being Haredim. Why is moving to Eretz Yisrael only, like, why is it a Tzioni thing? It makes no sense to me at all. Why has it become a Tzioni thing? I don't understand that. What has anything to do with anything? Why? Because we have Yom HaTzimut? Like, that's the big deal? That's why I moved to Eretz Yisrael, for Yom HaTzimut? No. I moved for Yom Yerushalayim. Okay, so he says as following. He said, I saw in Yechashev HaSefer, Yayin HaToiv, the question that we asked. And he says like this. Ube'emetz, I saw in the Tashbitz. Tashbitz was one of the great Rav Duran, who lived in Tzfas in the 14th century. Im ha'oyle bazeh l'hafuch mimash she'yishiv ha'mabit ha'mashich b'divrei ha'tshuvos t'mitzvah sadur b'Eretz Yisrael k'oysev b'tach. And he says as follows. V'ein mutter latzeis mi'Eretz Yisrael l'chutzaretz ela l'lumo torva im eino moitzev Eretz Yisrael. Mishalamda mipnei kovod avivimo behare heter hatashbis the pastures let's say to me Eretz Yisrael luchutz laaretz mishum kovod avivimo bekal v'choymer alkei. He says, but if I've never moved to Eretz Yisrael before, then I'm not actively doing the mitzvah, and therefore, sorry, I don't see why we'd be mutter. The ain luma b'nogam yishuv Eretz Yisrael mikol mitzvahs. You can't tell me it's like any of the other mitzvahs. There's probably every single one except this. And this is what the good question is here: Why are we picking on yishuv Eretz Yisrael? He says every other mitzvah you're right about except for yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim says she poisek she mutter lishkon b'chol aretz chutz mi Eretz Yisrael. Why did he say that there? Why didn't the Rambam say, yeah, you can't live in Mitzrayim for sure, but I mean, you got to live in Eretz Yisrael. He didn't write it there. Shekala yoytzu l'chutz aretz ki'ilu ovid abrazara. Yes, it's true. And then he points out, she has to choose ma'abit, la'afuch v'zichon ha'darim b'chutz l'aretz, ela nichale, she'adarim b'chutz l'aretz, k'mo she'ein lo elokav, right? Famous Ramban. Yes, this is all true. Mikol makom. Look, he doesn't quote, it's very interesting. He quotes later on, Rav Moshe finds that the mitzvahs Yishuv Eretz Yisrael ain't a chiyuvis. The Agoin have Shmuel Salant. Rav Shmuel Salant says, who is the Rabbi Rishon of Yerushalayim, writes this: Yishuv Eretz Yisrael ain't a mitzvah chiyuvis. Afilu dasa Ramban. Even the great Ramban, who appeared to be the biggest Zionist in the world, doesn't say that. And then, of course, came Rav Moshe Feinstein. By the way, pointing out, Rav Moshe Feinstein is no chiddush. By the way. Rav Moshe Feinstein got this from earlier sources. Elikashidar Shem Mekayim Mitzvah. The mitzvah says, and he says at the end of the day, no, the Fina Zaiti, the Ein HaDover Baruch Kolkach, Lahatir, Lenor B'chutz La'aretz, L'chanech, to do this. I disagree. I don't think you can go somewhere and secretly be the Tzioni guy who starts telling people in their ear you should move to Eretz Yisrael. I don't think that's true. And very surprisingly, in the last source, Abud HaYimani, Rav Shaul Yisraeli, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of America's Rav Kook, he says surprisingly, Lafiani Estais Nitzah, they get the Oisik Ve Mitzvah. He says if you're actively, now this is a not so easy definition. What does it mean, Oisik Ve Mitzvah, Potzer Ve Mitzvah? Meaning, if my parents are old, and I know, unfortunately, friends like this who mamish can't move to Eretz Yisrael because they're taking care of their parents. Again, I would argue, nowadays, is that really true? Baruch Hashem, you could take care of your parents probably better by appointing someone to take care of them, right? Hiring a nurse is probably much better than you trying to take care of your parents. Even mitzad halachos of hurting them and things like that, it's better that a nurse probably does it anyway.
Even if your parents may prefer that.
Yeah, so this is like the question about chavala, right? You know, you're not allowed to cause chavala. I remember when we used to play basketball with Rabbi Willing, in Moresh HaKolel, I wasn't in the Kolel, not to think I was in the Kolel, but I was in the camp. We were across from him. So we used to play basketball. At some point, Rabbi Willie would be playing, and he'd be like, oh, I'm out. He had a great hook shot, I remember. I'm out. And we didn't understand what was going on. They explained when things were getting too rough, he thought we would be over on an intentional fouling, the Rebbe. You know, sometimes you get heated. I heard there's things going on in the basketball court. Not you guys, of course. But so that could be problematic. So the same thing, what happens if your parent says, I want the COVID shot, but I only want my son, the grace of doctor, to give me that. And then you're like, Dad, I'm a dentist. You know, like, I'm not a real doctor. You know, no, yeah, I want it. Right. So would you be able to do that? I know it sounds a little funny. What chaval are you doing? You're doing a little... There's a shaila whether you could do that. If you remember a few weeks ago, we discussed about the wife, right? Can you take her pulse or the pulse or her heart rate, right? Maybe, right? We said it's mutter, so maybe in this case it would be mutter if the parents insisting on it. The type of chavalah, maybe. The shaila is that mamish, what's oisik b'mitzvah? So if the parents mamish needs you, that may be a little bit different. I'm not sure that's the way Rav Shlomo Yisrael is defining it. It may say, you're actively in the mitzvah. So you have, again, the question is, I always used to say, am I looking for a heter not to move to Eretz Yisrael? Right? Many people, like, they need a heter. So I always like to say, when this came up, and unfortunately my life story, my aliyah story, I should say, is that I didn't get any encouragement to move to Eretz Yisrael. My rabbeim, all my rabbeim, were against it. As I told you, I was president of the shul, I was giving shir, so that rav said no, and another rav, who I was giving shir, said don't do it, and just mentioned one name, Rav Goldbach was one of my rabbeim as well, told me not to do it, chinuch is going to be very hard, and I had no it. And they all were giving me like, heterim, mama just said you could do it. And I said, this isn't birth control. When it comes to birth control, sometimes you need a heter. I said, I don't want at the end of my life to say, Rabbanu Shalom, I got the heter. Look, I have it in writing, signed by, you know, six gedolei rabbanim. But I didn't live there. So technically, they're heterim, but it's difficult. It's difficult. Again, we shouldn't make it that this is the one thing that you make a macha and hate your parents. You know what I'm saying? That may be difficult. And I say, tell this to boys all the time. I don't think, I could be wrong about this, I don't think there's a mitzvah to move to Eretz Yisrael when the time's not right. Parents who are smart, and I believe this because I think it helped in my life, who say, I just want you to get a, you want to move to Eretz Yisrael? Because it's hey, but not right away. Get a college education. You'll marry a girl from America who understands American culture. Not crazy. That's not crazy. I'm sorry, but that's not crazy. And I often tell guys to do that. You talked before, so somebody said about the army. So the army's a good shiloh as well, right? Clearly, this is very politically, I should stop the tape now because this may be politically incorrect. Maybe I'll stop the tape now. If you have any questions, somebody has a question about the army, so I'm going to stop now and I'll tell you what my thoughts are. But again, I think this is a very, very interesting and integral shir that really goes into the nitty-gritty of what Kibud Av V'Em is. Just going back to Rav Avadya Yosef's son, or Rav Yitzchak Yosef, I say Rav Avadya Yosef only because he quotes Rav Avadya, and this, you know, Yalkut Yosef is really a lot of his father's thing. It may be there's no sar over here, different cases, Ishim Oviv Tiro, about following your parents generally, but again, we have to end off with what we started with. As we'll say in our parsha, Kabed Zavicha is important to do in the right way, political way, and you're a little shtunk in a kid that's 20 years old, your parents know a lot more than you, you should listen to their great wisdom.